help you get a picture of today's sermon, I put these pictures together, which I'm going to give to you, and you pass back and forth so you have an idea of what the sermon may be about. Part of the sermon I used on November 10th, and I gave Pastor Fries the text and the theme, which was the perfect shield. And this is the picture they came up with for the front of the bulletin. That was the Holy Spirit. May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace as you trust in him, so that you may overflow with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. Amen. The text is from the sixth chapter of Ephesians, verses 10 through 17. The theme is our marching orders as soldiers of Jesus Christ. Paul writes, beginning at verse 10, "Finally, receive your power from the Lord and from his mighty strength. Put on all the armor that God supplies. In this way, you can take a stand against the devil's strategies. This is not a wrestling match against a human opponent. We are wrestling with rulers, authorities, the powers who govern this world of darkness, and spiritual forces that control evil in the heavenly world. For this reason, take up all the armor that God supplies. Then you will be able to take a stand during these evil days. Once you have overcome all obstacles, you will be able to stand your ground. So then, take your stand. Fasten truth around your waist like a belt. Put on God's approval as your breastplate. Put on your shoes so that you are ready to spread the good news that gives peace. In addition to all these, take the Christian faith as your shield. With it, you can put out all the flaming arrows of the evil one. Also take salvation as your helmet and the word of God as the sword that the Spirit supplies." This is our text. I thought it was interesting, again, it's the Holy Spirit, to hear in the epistle lesson for today, it spoke about the armor that God provides for us. I think unless we see missiles flying overhead or hearing incoming artillery, we're tempted to think wishfully that the enemy isn't real. But he is, as we heard, or maybe saw on TV on 9/11, 2001. The enemy is real. Well, spiritually, it's the same. Think about our spiritual enemy, Satan, and all the evil fallen angels that were cast out of heaven. They are more powerful than you and I. They are more cunning than we are, and they have only one objective: to kill you and me eternally in hell. Sadly, the evidence shows that our enemy is real. All we have to do is think about the Ten Commandments. Despite knowing that we should fear, love, and trust in God above all things, put God in first place, what do? We forget about God, trusting more in ourselves and in our own wits each day. Do we curse? Do we swear? Or otherwise misuse the name of the Lord? Do we ignore the Bible, His word, as the source of life and strength and spirit? And as you continue on with the commandments, the list goes on and on. So what we need is a perfect shield on the spiritual battlefield. And that perfect shield is Jesus. Ephesians 6:16 says, take the Christian faith as your shield. With it, you can put out all the flaming arrows of the evil one. You ever thought about what exactly are these flaming arrows that Christ Jesus can stop for us? The first flaming arrow is uncertainty. Since the beginning, Satan has attacked with the arrow of uncertainty. And Satan's very first question to Eve was, in Genesis 3, did God really say, you must never eat the fruit of any tree in the garden? Now, why in the world did the devil tempt Eve first? Guys, be careful how you answer this. You could be in the doghouse. Satan's attack was to create doubt and to make Eve uncertain of God and what he had commanded. You have to go back to chapter 2 when the command was given to Adam. Where was Eve? She wasn't created yet. She never heard God say the command. But she had the correct answer. But she also added to God's command. What did she say? And you must not touch it. Because I think Adam said, don't go near it. And in the same way, you see Satan tempts you and I with uncertainty. Satan asks you and me, okay, we got God's Ten Commandments, which you have reviewed throughout the services for the last several weeks. And the devil says, surely there must be a little wiggle room there for us. Won't God at least understand if occasionally you take his name in vain or in an empty way? And surely you can set God's word aside for a little while and not worry about hearing it, believing it, let alone living it. Didn't the devil say that? Can't you just let your needy neighbor fend for himself or herself? And on through those commandments. Satan's arrow of uncertainty is aimed at us so that we too will be uncertain of God and what he commands of us. What does God command? I want all of you to be perfect as I am perfect. We are to obey all the commandments. After all, there are only 10. The truth of God's law is there to help us fight the enemy, not to be fooled by the devil's temptations. And using military terms, Paul declares to the Christians in Rome, so then take your stand, fasten truth around your waist like a belt. Satan comes back at you and says, okay, you now may be certain of what you must do, the Ten Commandments. Just how many commandments does it take to break and you're no longer perfect? There's only 10. How many does it take to break and you're not perfect? 1. We can't keep any of them like God wants us. And so Satan comes at us. God's not going to help you. God will not be your God. And Christ Jesus, our perfect shield, steps up and stops that flaming arrow with the words from the Sermon on the Mount in Matthew chapter 5, beginning at verse 17. Jesus said, "Don't ever think that I came to set aside Moses' teachings or the prophets. I didn't come to set them aside, but to make them come true. I can guarantee this truth: until the earth and the heavens disappear, neither a period nor a comma will disappear from Moses' teachings before everything has come true. So whoever sets aside any command that seems unimportant and teaches others to do the same will be unimportant in the kingdom of heaven. But whoever does and teaches what the commands say will be called great in the kingdom of heaven. I can guarantee that unless you live a life that has God's approval and do it more faithfully than the scribes and the Pharisees, you will never enter the kingdom of heaven." Jesus came for a reason: to satisfy all God's law perfectly for each of us. Jesus obeyed the Ten Commandments perfectly in our place with his own perfect righteousness. And this righteousness Jesus now credits to our accounts. What a tremendous gift this is for all of us. Once again, using military terms, Paul declares to us, "Stand your ground, therefore, and put on God's approval as your breastplate." The devil says to us, "Okay, maybe Christ has kept the law of God perfectly for you. However, you still must face punishment for all your sins. And in the end, you'll still never be at peace. Only terror, because you still must face the punishment." And our perfect shield reminds us that on the cross, Jesus took the hit for us, the punishment for all of our sins, all of them. And after all that suffering on that old rugged cross on Good Friday, he looked out and did not see any more unpunished sins. And so he declared with a victory cry, "Don't be afraid. It is finished." And you're reminded of that every time you come to the baptismal font. In those waters of holy baptism, God washed us clean and gives us this reassurance to be at peace. In the absolution, the pastor declares forgiveness, and those baptismal waters continue to flow out to each of you when you see a pastor make the sign of the cross, the perfect shield. And from the altar, after the words of institution are spoken, what do pastors do? How do they remind you of the peace? They put one hand on the altar, and the other hand they point to the bread and wine, the body and blood of our Lord, and the pastor says, "The peace of the Lord be with you always." And with that gift of peace, Christ Jesus makes us ready for anything. And again, St. Paul writes, "In Christ alone stand, therefore, and put on your shoes so that you're ready to spread the good news that gives peace." And Satan's final attack is to argue that although Jesus died for you and for me on the cross, you still die. And the perfect shield is the words of Easter: "He is risen, and you respond with, see, it's a victory cry. Jesus gives us the ultimate protection from the attacks of Satan, forgiveness, life, and salvation. And our final orders in Ephesians 6, in Christ alone, stand your ground and take the helmet of salvation. And the Word of God as the sword that the Spirit supplies. God has given us many good shields, our armed forces. As we celebrated Veterans Day in the month of November, God has provided many various missile systems. I don't know what they're all called today. He's provided education. He's provided families. He's provided friends. But there's only one perfect shield: Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, on the cross of Calvary. He's the only one who has stopped the devil's flaming arrows of uncertainty, of heartache, of terror, of hell. And he does this with his truth, his righteousness, his peace, and his salvation. As he declared, "I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me." Amen. And now let God's peace, which goes beyond anything we can imagine, guard your thoughts and emotions through Christ Jesus. Amen.